Let us pray. Our Almighty God and our loving Father, we offer to Thee our praise and our thanks for both the privilege and the responsibility of worship. Create within us, we pray, an awareness of the presence of Thy Spirit among us. Deliver us from the need to be entertained, and create within us the needs that can be met by the presence of Thy Spirit. Visit us, O Lord, with a judgment that affirms what is wholesome in us and corrects that which is vain and self-serving. Enable us, we pray, to use these moments for the aligning of ourselves with Thy purposes, for the meeting of the tasks that lie ahead. In the name of Christ, amen. It is a pleasure for me to welcome to the seminary community today and to the leadership of this service of worship, Mr. Don Rimes. Don is a native of Louisiana. He is a graduate of Hardin-Simmons University and the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. His ministry has included 13 years in the pastorate, 5 years under the appointment of the Home Mission Board as a minister in a high-rise apartment complex in New York City. It has included 2 years in a ministry in what is called the Strip in Atlanta at Peachtree and 14th Street. And for the past year and a half, he has been with the Department of Missionary Personnel of the Home Mission Board. It is with a great deal of pleasure that we welcome him to provide us with leadership as we meditate together. After the anthem, he will suggest some directions for our meditational thinking.
He hideth my soul in the place.
That is not my speech. It is my instructions that says 10:30 is the deadline that you all leave at that time, whether I'm finished or not. So I'll try to make an effort to be finished by that time, but I'm going to say more than's on this piece of paper. In addition to what it was said, I do have one wife. And that's not a bad arrangement, I don't guess. I'm not sure what a man would do with more than one of those things at a time anyway. I live in a girls' dormitory. We have three lovely daughters. So it's legitimate for me to live in that girls' dormitory. Some of your professors tried it, you know, back when and had to go see the dean. But it is legitimate for me. And we have worked for you for several years now. And some of that work I will share with you in just a moment. I come today, though, to say thank you for some great things that are happening through Home Missions. If you haven't heard, the Annie Armstrong Home Mission offering is already $6,740,000. That's the most it has ever been. And it's because of folk like you that we can stand here to say that this morning and let you know that we're going to begin some new work. The seminary students can confess that those of us who represent personnel have been saying, I'm sorry, we just cannot begin a new ministry. There's not much hope of you working for the Home Mission Board. But because of your graciousness and giving and your encouragement within the churches, we are going to begin some new work. Last year over the gold, this year over the gold also. The cooperative program is above, and we have received a gift above the commitment for this year. So there will be some new opportunities for you to work with the Home Mission Board. And we are very, very happy about that. So don't sit down there and rest. Just do it again, all right? Particularly when that time comes next spring. If we go over that goal again, then we're going to see some great things being done through Home Missions. So I say thank you for what you are doing for Home Missions, the emphasis you're given, and encourage you to just do it one more time. Loneliness is one of those devastating social problems, probably the most devastating of all of our social problems. Because when I'm lonely, I'm subject to doing, you name it. For I cannot stand loneliness very long. I must feel like a person. And I'm going to feel like a person. You're going to feel like a person. And we'll do anything to relieve that sense of no man cares or I'm alone, that life is just really not worth it at all. Your Home Mission Board was designed to cross the barriers that cause people to feel lonely. Many things contribute to it. Our culture today certainly is dictating to every one of us that you as an individual is not very important. You're not very important. Our churches contribute to this as we live and work for the sake of the institution rather than for the sake of persons. Sometimes you even think maybe seminary contributes to your loneliness as you are seeking to become a style person that can live and exist as one of God's people in this day, and somehow you're not finding that even here at your institution, and you're saying, well, this is just another of the many cogs in the wheel that says I'm a lonely person. Now, the Home Mission Board is designed to assist people in crossing the barriers that cause loneliness. The Home Mission Board has many avenues or areas of work where you can become an instrument to cross those barriers. You can become that person, uniquely prepared, uniquely committed, uniquely given to being God's presence in this world so that you can meet this devastating social problem of loneliness. I want to share these areas of work with you and ask you to be honest enough with yourself today to see if maybe one of those is where God can use you, where you can find the fulfillment that makes life more than just living and makes Christian work more than vocational emphases for you. One of the areas is our area of greatest need, and that is in the church extension department. Today we need at least 75 pastors. Now, you could probably go to New York City today to pastor a small mission church. And as Jack Redford would say, literally build a church in your own image. Now, you're going to do that somewhere anyway. But it's just a lot easier if you go to a place where it is now a small mission and you bring to it what you are, who you are, your dreams, that which you understand God should do in this earth, and there evolves the church in your understanding to meet the needs of the people. There are 12 areas in the state of New York right now that are looking for mission pastors. And through church pastoral aid, the Home Mission Board assists that church in having a full-time pastor. Now, we don't want you to drop out of school to go, because one of those guidelines that we adhere to very closely is we want a person who brings to that job the academic preparation, who brings the tools, who has some handles, who knows what life is about. And I'll emphasize that in conclusion again. But in the area of church extension, we need at least 75 individuals today to go and to pastor some mission churches, also to pastor some churches which are self-supporting. Maybe like the Highland Avenue Church, although they have a pastor now, but to give you an indication of what a church can be. If you were to attend the Highland Avenue Baptist Church in Jamaica, New York, you would think you were in the United Nations. For at least half the congregation has headsets. The pastor speaks Tennessee hillbilly. He's a good friend of mine, so I can accuse him of that. But at the rear of the auditorium, there's at least 6 booths where someone is sitting there hearing Jim Wright speak, and they are interpreting it into Japanese, Portuguese, Korean, into Spanish. They're interpreting it into one of the Chinese dialects. There's someone interpreting the language to those who do not hear. And on I can go till some Sundays there are 7 different languages besides English being spoken. They have a full ministry of daycare. They have after-school care. All of these things, and it is now the second largest Anglo-Baptist church in New York City under the sponsorship, second largest one, period. It is one under the sponsorship of the Home Mission Board. The Calvary Baptist Church downtown is the other Baptist church that is larger than the Highland Avenue. So it can be done. It can be done in the city if you're willing to meet people where they are. Church Extension Department is your avenue. There's also the Christian Social Ministers Department. It was through that department that I worked. We served 3 years in a high-rise apartment complex in New York City. Lefrak City is the name of the place. A short distance from Shea Stadium, where they play baseball. And Broadway Joe plays that football when he can keep himself together long enough to do it, you know. It is a city of 25,000 people located on 6 city blocks. So get your imagination going. 2 blocks wide, 3 blocks long. 20 buildings, 17 stories tall, over 1,000 persons inside each building. I don't know how big your town is, but ever how big it is in population-wise, put it on those 6 city blocks and ever how many more it takes until you get 25,000. Can you imagine having all the teenagers of a city of 25,000 people on 6 city blocks? You'd have a lot of fun, wouldn't you? Well, we did. What would you do if you were to move into a high-rise apartment complex to become a live-in minister? Your responsibility. I asked a group of acting girls that question one day, and one of them said, "I'd pray." Well, I did, and I still wanted to go home after I'd prayed about it, you know, because it was an awesome challenge to move into that kind of setting. And we did this very thing. What would you do? My Southern culture said, start a Bible study group. In each one of these buildings, there's a laundry room. My wife made little signs. I put them up, you know, and someone came along and took them down. We put them back up, and we had 7 people to phone. I thought out of 25,000 people, at least 100 would phone to say, "Man, you're dumb for wanting to study a book that was written when that was written." Not so. 7 people phoned. 2 people came. They both got transferred. So I discovered, at least in that culture, they were not just longing and waiting for someone to bring them a Bible study fellowship group. And so other avenues had to be available and had to be created for us to become what we moved there to become. Well, I knew that out of 25,000 people, that there were some handles available. So I went to management and I said, "Hey, look, this is who I am and what I'm all about. How can I help you in meeting some of your problems?" Because they had problems. Teenagers dismantled that place. They met in the stairwells, on top of the buildings for their pot parties. I stood by sometimes and watched parents encourage their kids by consenting and by not at least paddling those young'uns. Watch them break plate glass windows. And the parents would say, "Well, they took your ball field, go ahead."
How do you minister in this kind of situation? Management said, well, Don, you can't do door-to-door visitation, no problem. You cannot proselyte people. Well, I knew if I could not meet enough human need to get more people coming to me than I could possibly minister with, I was either lazy or dumb, and neither one of those applied. So we set about, with some guidance from management, to become a minister to a city of 25,000 persons. Well, we did daycare in our living room, tore up the furniture and put my wife in the hospital, but that was all right. We got acquainted with these folk, you know, and got involved in their lives. We started English as a second language. We began a ministry after school with some younger ones that were doing nothing. And so management consented to our using their community room. Out of this evolved a chapel. Out of it evolved a ministry with the teenagers. And so as God's presence in a community where less than 5% attended any form of worship experience, that became our lot. We have a couple who's just moved from there now to New Mexico to work with the Indians, and we have another couple that has moved into Lefrak City to continue the ministry. Through Christian Social Ministries, you touch the world through a living room. For people move back to 21 different cultures, having come to at least understand that God was in Christ, loving a world and drawing it unto himself, because you made it possible for us to live there. And there are people now living in 21 different cultures that correspond with us to say, we're glad you were there. Not all became Christians, but at least they understand who Jesus Christ is intellectually. From that, we moved through Christian Social Ministries down on the strip, as was suggested earlier, to work with a group of kids. 17,000 in 1970, not that many now. We call them many things, but they call themselves heads, long hairs, and freaks. Well, we lived 2 years and worked 2 years there in this place, and walk with kids in the pilgrimage of life. Kids who had chosen to cop out. We ran a youth ministry there. Christian Social Ministries has other projects going, similar to this one. Well, I don't understand all the whys and the wherefores, but I traded that set of freaks for this set of freaks I work with now, as I go to 3 seminary campuses and visit another set and encourage you to become open to working with the Home Mission Board. But it might be through Christian Social Ministries, where we're looking for someone to work in New Orleans, where we're looking for someone to work in the Bronx in New York, where we're looking for someone to work in a low-income housing project in West Virginia. It is predominantly black, but opportunities for you to cross some barriers that have made people feel less than people, and are saying to them that no one cares anymore. Another department that should interest you is the Department of Language Ministries. However, I must confess that smoke signals say, send us Indian. And the Spanish people are saying, we want a Spanish person. We want someone of our own kind. Because they're looking at us and saying, you don't understand. You cannot walk in my shoes. You cannot minister with me at this point in our history. Perhaps they're right. I doubt it. But nevertheless, this is what they're saying. So fewer and fewer opportunities are open to the Anglo to work in language ministries, although we do appoint a few each year. But a fantastic mission field, as we now have ministries with, 18, I believe, is the last count of ethnic groups within the United States. But language ministries affords a great opportunity, even though you may not work through the language department. Wherever you go, there will be someone there who is of another culture, who is of another background, that needs you to cross some barriers and minister with them. Of course, the other department that the Home Mission Board has, through which persons work as an appointed missionary, is the Division of Associational Services, where you would go to serve superintendent of missions or pastoral missionary, it is called in some areas. You're acquainted with the work of that department. So the Home Mission Board has these avenues open to you. To become a missionary requires about 3 months of detailed work, file processing, where you go through writing a life's history, where you send us the names of 25 persons to whom we will mail confidential reference forms, and we'll look at you through the eyes of 25 people You'll come to Atlanta for a group interview. You will have a battery of psychological tests. You'll have an interview with a psychologist, an interview with one of us on the staff. You'll have a very thorough physical examination. We feel a sense of stewardship of Baptist money because you are the ones who pay the bill. And so if someday you may be declined, we are sorry, but we feel that there has to be some guidelines, there has to be some standards, and we owe it to you as Baptists to be as diligent about our work as is humanly possible. So it does require some time. I would encourage you to contact the board if you feel the understanding of God's leadership to be in that direction now. Who are we looking for? We're looking for a distinctive type person. An individual who, first of all, has life put together. Because those who are giving direction out on the field are saying to us, and seminarians listen, saying to us that the seminary student today does not know who he is or what he's all about. And so some of the men who are giving direction on the field are saying to us in personnel, we want people who have been out of the seminary 5 years. Because they are saying that you've not yet looked at life and come to understand who you are in the Christian pilgrimage and what you're all about in the service to our Lord. I'm not sure they're being fair, but at least this is what they're saying, and you should hear them. You should come face to face with some understanding of what the Christian pilgrimage is for you, because believe me, in the places at least where I've been and in the places of many of the appointed missionaries, you don't answer those questions and do an effective service at the same time. And if you're caught in that struggle, most of the times you don't make it, and we have people who resign after a few months or after a year because they've not yet come to grips with who they are in God's kingdom's work. So we're looking for someone who has life put together, who has an understanding of what it means to be a child of God. I don't mean a wooden understanding. I mean a rather open and flexible understanding of what it means to be a child of God. We're looking for a person who is academically prepared. We're finding that the individual who stays with it in the ministry, in the service, as a missionary, is an individual who has paid the price of the discipline of where you are today. We get letters all the time of people who are in their first, second year of seminary, who are in college and saying, this is as far as I want to go. Where can you use me? But God has called me. I understand that. God calls you. I'm glad. I wouldn't want you if God didn't call you. The whole mission board doesn't want you if God doesn't lead you. If your understanding is not one of God's leadership, then you need to continue to see. But we want more than just, I understand God is leading me. We want someone who brings some skills and some preparation. So if you're not willing to stay here long enough to sharpen the tools that you're going to be using, then personally I question your commitment to being the effective minister it takes to get the job done in today's world. For you see, a part of coming to understand who you are and a part of being comfortable with who you are is the sharpening of your tools to where you don't feel threatened by people who don't. The hardest thing I faced when I moved to New York was people who would sit down with me, who would discuss the Christian faith, who would wrestle with it, and then would look me straight in the eye and say, no thank you, Don. I just don't want it. That was difficult for me to accept that. It would have been most threatening. And it's still, to a degree, I still don't know how to handle it, but it would have been threatening to where I could not have handled it without some disciplines of seminary. We want a person not only that has some academic preparation, but a person who has something to give. Literally, who has someone to give. And that first someone is you, is you. For you see, if you can't go to share you with the world, I doubt you're ever going to share our Christ with the world. Starving people don't feed. Uptight people don't communicate. Struggling people find it very hard to become salt and light. So we're looking for a person who has someone to share. Initially, you're comfortable enough with yourself to share who you are with the world. No greater witness than the witness of a life, than the witness of a person. And then, of course, that you would share our Lord with a day. A person who knows something of his culture, of what changes are going on, of where people are at in this world. Not where you think they are. We're creatures of our culture, sometimes of our culture, the academic community. Sometimes we believe the whole world is like us. And we go to minister to a world that is a strange world. And actually we're an alien to it. So a person who's aware of his world and what it brings as challenges to him. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the challenge of being Christian. We're grateful for the challenge of service. We're grateful for knowing that you would walk with us. And that you do lead us into ministry and into service. Help us to understand our commitment to you in an open-ended fashion that says, God, here I am, take me now, use me today. And where you'll use me tomorrow is in your own wisdom, your own understanding. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.